And we welcome you once again to the post-game show, where tonight the Aledo Bearcats, for the first time in 10 years, forced to overtime and do manage to pull out a victory in a game that, you know, sometimes you could say maybe they shouldn't have, but they did pull it off as they handed Midlothian an overtime loss, 34-28. For the second straight week, the Panthers have lost on the final play of the game. Jeff Williams, Kevin Lonquist with you. Bearcats remain unbeaten in district play, extend their national record streak of district victories now to 86. But Kevin, for a lot of this ball game, it looked like it was coming to an end almost to the day 12 years ago when they last lost a game. And it got late. I thought, they ain't going to be able to pull this one off.
No.
But they did.
I think all of us did. In fact, I remember you saying right before Aledo got that stop on fourth down, that toss that was a fumble that, you know, was – but it said this was the game. I mean, this is the streak. Everything was on the line, and the Bearcats met the challenge. And it's not that you don't underestimate their will to win, but it's like you could just – the way and how textbook and how efficient Midlothian was. And with Aledo, all they look for is for one crack – and they got it on the fourth down stop, and then they just took it right down and scored. And that's what winning programs do. They'll just find a way when it looks like it's about to go upside down on them.
High school games are 48 minutes long, regulation, 12 minutes a quarter, four quarters. For 46 minutes, essentially, Midlothian executed their game plan as well. Everybody's got different styles. Everybody's got different ways they do things. But they executed their game plan as perfect as I've ever seen a team execute. They are out-athleted in a lot of ways. They are not a fast team, Aledo speed to burn. They're a team that just grounds and pounds, 4 yards of play, hang on to the football, don't commit penalties. They're really well coached, by the way. Doug Wendell's got a program going. But they executed as well as you possibly could. Bearcats were able to at least keep pace to put themselves or keep themselves in a position to somehow pull a rabbit out of a hat. But in that final 2 minutes, after going 8 for 8 on fourth downs, yeah, they tried it fourth down 8 times.
That's amazing.
8 for 8. They faced one final fourth down. If they execute it, it was 4th and 4, I believe. If they get that one, if they go 9 for 9, it's church. It's ball game for Aledo.
Yeah.
And the Bearcats were able to get a fumble, a pitch, a toss outside to JT Cavender. Went off his hands. Bearcats recovered it. Went down and scored. And, you know, again, that was with about 2 minutes left. But, like I said, for 46 of the 48, I don't know if I've ever seen a team that really is outgunned in a lot of ways play as perfectly as they did.
You know, you talk about the out-athleted, and they were, because I'm down on the sidelines watching this game, and the one thing where you see the major difference is the foot speed. I mean, I'm looking at
right.
And I'm just looking at the feet of JoJo Earl and Money Parks, and when you just watch their feet versus Midlothian's feet, it's night and day. It's 180. And so what Midlothian has to do to be perfect in order to score, Aledo doesn't need that because they're so explosive, because they've got such weapons and such athleticism out there. But you're right. And the way that Aledo had to hang in there in this game and just come up with a play, and you kept thinking, are they going to make a play? Are they going to make the play? And they hadn't made one, Jeff, all night.
Right.
They hadn't made one up until that 2-plus mark when they did.
Defensively.
Defensively, right, until they actually get the stop. I actually thought, to be honest with you, I thought this game was over after Aledo forced the punt, and then Jake Bishop has the pick or the tip drill interception.
Pop 15 feet in the
yeah.
air.
And I'm thinking that was the moment where I thought the air just came, because the air came out of the sideline. I'm down there, and it was just flat. But time enough, there's about, 5.5 minutes or whatever it was.
Well, all their timeouts.
Yep. And they get the stop. And I can remember when we were discussing this on the air, was, were they going to use their first timeout on Midlothian's third down at about their 25, whatever it was?
Right.
Or would they call it on fourth down? You know, and they never did.
They didn't call them.
I know, which shocked me. But I also think that speaks to the fact that Tim Buchanan and Robbie Jones, the offensive coordinator, have such confidence in their offense because they have such explosive players. They don't need to if they don't have to. And they look what they navigated 70-some-odd yards or whatever it was to get down the field and score.
68.
68 to get down there and score. And by the way, that I'm going to say this about Jake Bishop. The way he also not enough credits given to him for the way he bounced back from that interception because he calmly directed in the sign of watching a streak go up in smoke. He directs him down. And the play before to JoJo Earl.
Yeah.
Down to the 12-yard line.
The back shoulder throw
where it's right in front of me. Like I said, I'm on the sidelines. It's right in front of me, Jeff. And there's just enough loft that it cleared two Midlothian defenders right into JoJo's hands so that he can catch it down to the 12-yard line so that can set up the game time. I mean, that ball, that just shows you what kind of a quarterback Jake is, not only from a productivity standpoint, mechanics standpoint, but from a mental toughness standpoint.
And there was some kind of some acrobatic moves on that because JoJo really had to twist and turn and get a foot down. Next play, they roll out to the right. Jake gets in a little bit of trouble, swings it back to the left, and somehow Money Park's just floating free out there. And it was just an easy almost shot, put it to him, make sure he didn't overthrow it, that tied it. And then Midlothian, I think, did the right thing at that point with the nature of their offense. They're not a big play offense. I think the biggest play they had tonight, they had one play, a pass for 43 yards when they were in big trouble on second and 12, 20. It was a long way.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Might have been 12.
Because it was on a holding penalty.
Correct. And that's tough enough. Besides that, I think about 12 yards is the biggest play they'd had. They weren't going to score. What they were going to do is, in that final minute 15, if they decided to push it, is perhaps turn the ball over. And all Alito needs, and they knew it, is 1 second on the clock, and they might score and beat you.
Right.
So they were really kind of in it, forced into, let's go to overtime. And that's when the Bearcats, after all night long kind of getting shoved around on the defensive side of the football, and DeMarco Roberts talked about it, that the coach has been telling him, you know, go after that play, go after that play. You know, listen to your coach. He said, I listened to my coach. He was able to break up an option toss to the right. They'd had a lot of success to the left tonight, by the way. But they went to the right, and DeMarco basically tackled the pitch man. And then
the ball never got there.
No, it didn't get there. He tackled the intended target of the pitch.
Right, as the ball was, like, about
floating.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Fengar was right there, too, and somehow a perfect bounce to him, and then he was escorted by DeMarco all the way to the house, 82 yards.
And here's the other thing, too, and keep in mind, too, if Fengar doesn't score, if he gets stopped at the 1 yard, Alito gets the ball.
They get the ball, but it's not a touchdown. They don't get it, you know.
Right, but they would get the ball at the 25-yard
goal
with a chance to win or whatever. So they would have been in great shape regardless. We don't have to worry about that scenario, of course. But the thing is that, you know, again, they're not going to face this kind of offense again unless they run into Midlothian in the state quarterfinals. If both teams if those teams are both fortunate to get to that round. And you know what the other thing is, too, is if they do, they're going to see the starter, Tate Corbin, who was out with what is termed as, I think, a fracture in his lower bone right above his ankle. And so I think Doug Wendell, their head coach, was saying they're probably going to be out to the end of October. So he's basically going to miss all of this month. But
if he's better than Nick De Los Santos,
boy,
watch out, because Nick was awesome for them tonight.
For those of you who didn't catch Doug Wendell's pregame interview with me, he talked about the fact that those two guys had started running that offense when they were in middle school. De Los Santos was in seventh grade. Corbin was in eighth grade. So what you saw from De Los Santos, maybe it's like, wow, if you looked at his numbers and said, golly, you know, he's not going to be very good. But because he's run those plays for the last 5 years, he's comfortable with it. So he was ready to step in, next man up for them, and he delivered. I mean, great effort by him, just a couple of mistakes that cost him, and good for Alito.
We'll also have to something to keep an eye on for this week. Again, Bearcats will be back in action. We're in that every other week at home mode. Next week they'll be on the road when they travel to Burleson. Burleson had been undefeated prior to tonight, but were knocked out. Centennial did a number on them tonight.
37-10.
It surprised me a little bit. I thought it'd be – I think Centennial's the better team, but I certainly thought rivalry, Burleson's unbeaten. I thought it'd be a lot closer, but Centennial did a number on them. But Burleson will be at home again next week because even though they were the visitor tonight, it's the same state. They share a stadium.
Right.
That won't be an easy out necessarily next week. They will be on the road again at Burleson before they return home to take on Cleburne. Here, Cleburne was another team that was unbeaten that just got thumped tonight. Two of their first loss.
Yeah, they got lost to Arlington Seguin, who was winless. And so
anyway, the one thing to keep in mind or keep an eye on for next week, Matt Tague was injured in this game. DeMarco Roberts was forced into duty, and he had one he was playing both sides of the football here tonight. DeMarco is just a junior, maybe my favorite interview guy. I remember from the he's just fun. Mm-hmm. And but he had a really – what's kind of lost in all this, aside from the big player, he's going to think, well, he's the guy that broke up the pitch. Mm-hmm. But he had a 16-yard touchdown run where he broke a tackle about every 2 or 3 yards and got into the end zone. He was huge tonight.
I can remember calling his stats or performances in the sub-varsity games a couple years ago.
Yeah, during the Alito Sports page at halftime, by the way.
Right. And he was so, he was just having huge game after huge game. So to see, and of course, with what Jace McClellan was doing, there really wasn't any room for DeMarco to be in the back. But, well, now there's a need. And he's probably going to start next week, with Tague's ankle injury. And DeMarco's going to be one worn-out kid by the end of this year because he's playing double duty. I mean, I saw the funny thing about DeMarco after this game when I interviewed him, two things. Never had this happen. Not a big deal, but it's kind of funny. When I was interviewing, he actually took the microphone out of my hands and was answering the questions. But he was doing a really good job with it. But I've never seen a kid so sweaty from
was breathless almost.
I mean, he was breathless. He was so – I mean, it was still coming down off of him. So, I think every part of – every piece of his clothing was completely drenched. But what I love about DeMarco is the fact that he's got such energy and excitement that he was talking so passionate even after that. It must be great to be 16, 17 years old, which you and I are definitely not.
Well, it was great to be DeMarco Roberts tonight, for no doubt. So, Bearcats get the win. Again, the first overtime game in 10 years dates back to the Stephenville game at Cowboy Stadium back in the early days, third season probably of the current Cowboys, now AT&T. Then it was Cowboys Stadium, and defeated Stephenville 26-23. And that was in the third round or area round of the playoffs, and that was when they began their – that was the year that they began their streak of state championships, that 09 season. Yep. They won 9-10-11, then 13-14-16-18, I think it was, something like that.
Yep. But, Matthew Bishop scored in overtime right behind over the A-gap over the left side. I can remember that. I can remember that as plain as day when I called it at the same spot.
And they did it in 05. That was the year prior to all of us joining up. Mm-hmm. In a year in which the Bearcats lost 4 regular season games but got all the way to the quarterfinals that year, ended up, I think, 10-4 or 9-4. Maybe it was the third round, the regional round, but they won an overtime game there against El Paso Chapin out at Grande Communication Stadium in Midland, 41-36 against that E.P. Chapin team. But those are the only two in recent memory. And overtime's only been around since, I think, 97, 98, something like that. So there's not a lot of them. The other two had been in playoff situations, a playoff stage. But tonight, regular season game. But, boy, if Alito does lose this game, now you've got a three-way tie, a circular three-way tie. Alito beat Centennial. Centennial beat Midlothian beat Alito.
Then you get the point system involved.
And so I think Alito wins that because they beat Centennial by a pretty significant number.
Right.
And then this would have been, a 7-point game, and then the Centennial Midlothian game was a 2-point game.
Right.
So Bearcats would be the one seed, assuming they went out, but still it would have just thrown – it'd been chaos.
Yeah.
Bearcats will have to get right back to it. Hopefully we'll have good news on Matt Tague, and he'll be all right. If not, DeMarco Roberts, also Jeremiah James may be a part of that as well. Talking about wearing out DeMarco Roberts, hopefully by the playoffs we're talking about having, or we should very well have Jace McClellan back, so then he'd just go back to single duty and get a bit of a break.
You would think, yeah.
And I'm not too sure that in the pile-on after the win that Caden Anderson wasn't shaken up a little bit. They actually attended to him down in the corner in the dog pile.
That usually happens. Someone gets something
might have been at the bottom of the pile or something. But hopefully he's okay, too. He did walk off under his own power, but he was a little slow to get up, and they took a look at him. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. But
maybe he was just out of gas like Nathan Fingar was.
Maybe so. And also DeMarco Roberts.
For
so
sure.
Bearcats rest of the week, and you can hear that play of the game as well as our halftime interviews also here in the podcast section of the KTFW website. So go looking for that. And then also Coach Buchanan's post-game interview and the halftime interview with Steve Wood, the athletic director, and the superintendent. Dr. Bone is on there as well, talking about the bond election coming up early next month. So check all of those out. There's a lot of Aledo stuff to get to. It'll be a 7 o'clock start with the pregame show over in Burleson next week, 7:30 kickoff. Hope you'll join us for that. It'll be myself, John Hampton, also Kevin Lonquist. But fun times here tonight, nail-biting time, but it was a good one here tonight. Kevin Lonquist, I'm Jeff Williams. Thanks to Hayden Posey for sticking around to engineer this. We'll talk to you next week. It's been the post-game show here on KTFW 92.1 Hank FM.